Hello, and welcome to The Cast of Us, a podcast dedicated to The Last of Us on HBO and brought to you by the Fan Critical Podcast Network. Welcome to the deep dive review of The Last of Us, episode 2, titled Infected. Now, joining me this week is my fellow survivor, a man as gruff and some say as tortured as Joel.
Mm.
It's John.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Sounds like you've got a lot going on in that melon of yours.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. In my Swede. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all good, mate. It's all good. Looking forward to this, obviously. I know it sounds like I'm
always
not, but I genuinely am. I'm sad a little bit to lose Gaz this week. He obviously can't make
it. Yeah, well, listeners, we've got some news. Now, of course, usually joining us is little Gareth, and some of you might have heard him on the hot take yesterday, but unbelievably, he's gone missing. Now, in these sorts of situations, we would send out a search party if we can be bothered.
He's a goner.
You know, we talk about how weak and feeble he is. Is it worth it, John?
Pointless.
Is it worth it for us to go out there for him?
Yeah, unless he's like, if he's carrying something of use, you know, then it's like, we'll go out and at least get that back. But yeah, I mean, he is definitely dead.
Yeah, definitely dead. No, just joking, listeners. He's fine. Don't worry about it. He'll be back next week. But, you know, you've got me and Gruff Boy John this week. And John, famously, you are a show-only viewer.
A show-only
of the series.
Yes.
A show-only, yes. A man who wants to give us his truly uninfected thoughts and watch the show as a standalone piece of media.
Yep.
Now, you're not burdened by any of this video game nonsense, are you? Which is lovely.
Definitely not.
And you loved episode one.
Mm.
So, my dear friend, what did you think of episode two? And how many delicious, delicious blueberries would you give it?
It's another good episode, isn't it? You know, it's...
yeah, boy.
I mean, look, they're not fucking around in this show. They are getting on with it. There's no, like... You know, there was a little tease of a clicker on a rooftop at the end of episode one.
Yeah.
And this episode, it's like, no, look, straight into a set piece. So good on them for that. Another episode, another major death, character death. I wonder if they're going to do that every episode this series.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything.
I'm saying.
Obviously, for anyone who's just a show watcher, but you know, I've said it before, John. It's not, you know, it's not a very happy story.
No, no, I'm definitely getting that. It's quite difficult to compare this episode to the first one. I was talking to someone earlier, actually, and I said it. I didn't think it was as good as the first episode, but that's kind of unfair because it was a bumper episode. It was basically two episodes in one. And it's obviously got the opportunity to set the scene. Everything's new. I felt like there were probably parts of this episode that were quite slow. I think, actually.
In a good way, though.
Yeah. Well, look, you know me, I like the story being slowed down to learn a little bit about the characters. But obviously, look, the key kind of part of this episode is this set piece in the museum. And it was brilliant. You know, horror. I mean, it's just a horror film, isn't it? It's just... Mm. You know, elements of Alien in there. So, yeah, look, another stellar episode. I'm going to give it 4 bloobs out of 5. I don't think it quite hit the heights of the first episode. I think that there were genuinely some bits at the beginning where I was kind of like, get on with it. But that's fine. This felt like a longer episode than... So episode one didn't feel like it was 90 minutes. This felt like it was 50 minutes. I felt it a little bit more. I also would like to see a little bit more of the city, a little bit more of the skyline, and we could have even had this episode not even show, you know, clickers or stalkers or anything like that.
They've got a lot of things to introduce, basically, and there's only 9 episodes, remember, not 10. So we're going to have quite a bit to do. I will echo most of what you're saying. I actually really liked it, and I said this in a hot take, like, it's slowing down, and it's just essentially Tess, Joel, and Ellie walking and exploring the city, trying to find the right way to the state capitol building. And I felt it worked brilliantly for letting the characters just have moments of discussion with amongst themselves. You're getting little layers of Tess, which I think are really important here. See rays of hope filter into her mind, even though she doesn't really let on to it until the end of the episode. Whereas you see with Joel, you see how closed off and sort of he refuses to let any sort of hope ever enter his mind because he just doesn't want to get hurt.
It's the hope that kills you.
It's the hope that kills you. Being an Englishman, John, we know that more than most sometimes. Yep. In sporting terms, that's what always happens. Yep. It's the hope that kills you. We're tryhards at sport, really.
Well, it might happen this time. We've lost again.
Oh, God. Every time, heartbroken. But nah, like, I really like the slower pace. I like the fact that it builds up this tension until you get to the museum set piece, and it feels earned, that scary moment with the clickers. It feels like they really earned it. Like, it felt like, you know, that, like, the tension in the outbreak day worked last week. It was slowly ratcheting up, and then it all broke loose and it made sense. And here it was the same for me. And obviously the end is a fucking heartbreaker. I said in a hot take that brought a tear to my eye, and it does, because I think Anna Torv's Tess has been fantastic. I think her acting, like, in the speech she gives Joel at the end, is just, it's just A+. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, she's really good.
And her and Joel, like, her and Pedro Pascal, they seem to bounce off each other so well.
Rumours.
That it's kind of a shame that she's gone. Because, you know, I would have loved to have seen a bit more of it. But like you said, they're not holding back. They're just going for it.
Yeah.
The story is not slowing down. And I'm happy that that's the case. I'm happy it looks like they're adapting the first game into the first season. It's tracking that way at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that they're not, like, drawing it out and making it like a 4 or 5 season show across the 2 games. Now, like you said, it's hard to compare the first episode and this episode. Now, the first episode we gave a 5. But that's because it did a very good job setting everything up.
Yeah.
It also showed the outbreak. There's stuff in here which I wasn't expecting, like the Jakarta cold open, which we'll get onto in a minute. But it blew me away. Like, that those little extra bits of information are just, for a video game player like myself, are like gold dust.
Gold dust, yeah.
Right? It's like, it's just like, what is... This is awesome world building. Even though I said in the hot take, originally I was like, I'm not going to like it at all. I ended up fucking loving it by the end of the scene. So I'm going to give it another 5, John, because I don't think you can necessarily have a go at it because it's not the premiere. Do you know what I mean? It still did everything. If this was just an episode of any other show, I would give it a 5 because I love the dialogue.
Yeah.
I love the acting. I love the set piece. I love the set design. There's nothing about this episode which disappointed me, you know?
I don't think you're going to score any of these episodes less than the 5.
If that's the case, John, then this will be the greatest show I've ever seen, probably. So,
so far, does it feel like the greatest, like, series that you've ever seen?
It's so hard for me to differentiate the game and the show, and the show's doing a fantastic job. I know the story. So I know the story, for me, is one of the best stories I've ever experienced. So
here's one for you, without kind of being spoilery, but if it is going to and I think you're right. I think I said this ages ago anyway, that the first game is just this first series. What is what's going to be the worst episode?
Ooh, that is, I don't know.
It's worth a guess. Well,
look, next episode, it's already been alluded to, we're getting Bill and Frank.
Yep.
So that's going to be good. I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be good.
Well, I mean, you've given it five bloobs already, haven't you?
I don't want to say more than that. I don't want to spoil it for the lovely listeners, you know? Anyone who's just coming from a show perspective.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you have to name any characters or anything like that. I just think where the story slows down potentially, where you're a bit like, oh, I don't know how that's going to translate to screen. If it follows the pacing that it has done with the game.
It's all good, John, because it's honestly, there's so much that happens. Honestly, I know that sounds like I'm just fucking just being a bit of a cop-out, but I'm just thinking about the sections of the game and something interesting happens in everyone. There's no section of the game that is dull. This game is so tight, so well told that, trust me, listeners, you're in for a treat. Mm. You're in for a bloody treat.
There you go.
All right?
Five bloobs.
Now there's going to be a little musical interlude and some adverts. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the plot of episode 2, Title Infected, directed by Neil Druckmann himself. See you on the other side. Okay, John, let's jump into it. On September 24th, 2003, 2 days before official outbreak day, which is September 26th, 2003, in Jakarta, Indonesia, a mycologist, Ibu Ratna, is enjoying her lunch when she's grabbed by some government soldiers and taken to a lab to study something peculiar. She learns that the cordyceps fungus has found a way to mutate and infect humans, with patient zero believed to be at a flower and grain plant. She then goes on to say there is no medication, no vaccine possible, and advises that the government bomb every city to slow the spread.
Yeah, just bomb it all, isn't it?
Just bomb.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to take your advice for that. Obviously, you're a scientist and, you know, we'll trust you for that. But, I mean, you're advocating for just carpet bombing civilians. Like, fucking hell. Honestly. It's like COVID all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, she's gone from 0 to 100 there. He was hoping for some sort of, like, you know, close off the city, you know, maybe kill a few people.
We have to contain it, don't we? Just bomb all of it, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home.
Just bomb it. it's kind of bleak, though, isn't it? I found it really effective. I thought her I thought her performance was fantastic and very, like, I don't know, it was just so well constructed. Did you like this cold open?
Yeah, look, I'm well behind this this thing they've got going on. It kind of would be silly for them to now not do it every episode. Feels like
I was going to ask you that.
They have to do that now.
Yeah.
I was going to ask your predictions about whether or not they end up in like different parts of the world.
I was going to say one of my notes here was ask John if they think they're going to do this each week, and then. Yeah. That's literally my next one. And I was going to say, it's very Breaking Bad. And I said this to Gaz in the hot take, like how they're using these cold opens to just give people who play the game a bit of extra context, but also to surprise us and shed more light on the world building, which didn't need to happen in the game. But I do think in the show, it's actually amazing. I think it really helps give context to what's going on.
Interesting if, like, one of the cold opens where they're discussing just bombing London. Like, you know, just bomb all of it.
Yeah.
But then it turns out it was like 20 yeah. years before the infection anyway. So,
what? Yeah. Yeah. Nah, 1983.
Yeah, just bomb what it. Then?
Why,
bomb
why are
it.
We doing that?
Well, because I was born in 84. So it. Obviously, you know, we just have to bomb the whole city to make sure he doesn't exist.
As soon as he was born, they were like, there's no containing him. There's no containing him. We've got to sort it yeah, out.
I like the choice to do it. I know in the hot take, one of you mentioned whether or not we kind of even need to know like the existence of or the start of or how it happened. And yep. I'm not particularly fussed about understanding how it's come about, and you know, I don't really care about that. I am just fascinated to see the impact of it on the rest of the world, and I'm sure we will. I'm sure we'll get, you know, parts of Europe at some point.
Mm. I just hope they don't eventually, because obviously there's only so much story that they can adapt at the moment. There's no Last of Us 3 game, and they've said they're not going to go past the game.
Mm.
I don't want them to do what The Walking Dead did and make like a Fear the Walking Dead
yeah, spin-off
type show.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want any fucking spin-offs. I like the fact that they're expanding the universe, but let's just try and get this story right before.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
that's my only concern. But I don't think they will do that. I feel like they're very good at constraining themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that would be rubbish.
I did tease it in the hot take. We're going to talk about how the outbreak started. And we're going to talk about this theory that was doing the rounds on Reddit last week.
Oh, yeah.
Which I like. And I think it's pretty much confirmed by this cold open. So what we know is Jakarta was mentioned on the radio at the start of episode one. And they're like, Jakarta, where is that? Anyway, turns out Jakarta has the largest flour and grain mill in the world. It is the largest exporter of flour and grain. Now, eagle-eyed viewers will have noticed last week there were several opportunities for the millers to eat baked goods that contain flour.
Oh, yeah.
However, they didn't. Nana had her biscuits, which then Joel was offered, and we see Nana eating them, and we know that she was infected, right? They also didn't have birthday pancakes because there was no flour. Joel also forgot the birthday cake when he came home. So all of these... and also Sarah didn't eat the cookies at Nana's house because they were raisin, and she didn't want that.
Yep.
So there were all of these opportunities where the millers could have been infected by baked goods containing flour, which pretty much confirms that even the Ibu Ratna lady says, who bit her?
Mm.
Who is patient zero? It's not. It's in the fucking flour,
yeah.
Right? So that is fascinating. And I really
what
like that theory. What do you reckon to it, John?
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
It's just, at least it's flour as in the baked flour as opposed to plants. I mean, let's not go, I don't know, like Day of the Triffids or The Fucking Happening, where it's like, well, the earth's turning.
Oh, yes, The Happening. Yeah. The Happening.
Yeah.
You're fucked. The Happening is the trees, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah, just yeah. They just release pheromone because they've had enough of people, you know, punishing the earth. So they're like, well, we're just going to make people suicidal.
Yeah, that is kind of disturbing, that film, actually. Like some of the stuff in there. It's a good idea. I just think it's terribly executed.
Well, yeah, just bizarre.
Pardon the pun.
I didn't notice any of that cake stuff. I'm normally quite good with stuff like that, but I...
Yeah, loves his cake. Ooh, delicious cake.
Ooh, is that carrot
Ooh, Len,
cake?
Did you,
oh, yes.
Why don't you talk about the fact that they didn't bring in the birthday cake? Because I love cake.
This time last week, I had so much birthday cake because it was my daughter's birthday for breakfast. It was disgusting, honestly. Yes, I don't know what to make of it. I'm not sure that I care about its origin. So I, you know,
yeah,
if it's in the flower, then fine.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're dodged bullets. Literally, like I quite like that there was so many opportunities for them to get infected. Because even Sarah in the car is like, "Are we okay? Yeah, we're fine. Mm. Yeah, don't worry, we're fine."
Yeah.
And at that point, they're just guessing. They have no idea how it started. You know?
Well, that's what you do with kids, isn't it? You just reassure them. You tell them that it's going to be all right, even when it's not.
Even when it's not. Well, talking about reassuring kids, in the present, in 2023, Ellie wakes up in the ruins of Boston. She sees Joel and Tess both watching her at gunpoint. They are convinced she will turn and that she can't be immune. She then explains she is being transported west to a Firefly camp with doctors and facilities in the hopes of her being used to find a cure.
Yep.
What do you reckon to Ellie basically bathed in the sunlight, sort of top down, fetal position, very sort of savior-esque? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is true. I don't know what to make of her performance in this episode. I kind of feel like, I think once we're up to like episode 6 and 7, and we've had large parts, which is also why I think they, you know, made the decision to get rid of Tess fairly quickly.
Yep.
I think the show just wants us to follow those two as a duo. Regardless of them, you know, bumping into other people along the way. And I think their chemistry will get better. But some of Bella Ramsey's acting at the beginning of this episode, I don't know, I was kind of a bit... I sort of cringed a little bit at the... obviously, I know it's supposed to be funny and it's, you know, that's her personality, the twitching thing. And I don't know whether or not it's because I've seen it in the trailer over and over again.
I think you've seen it, yeah.
But when it happened, yeah, I was just a bit like, ugh.
Yeah, I think it's because you've seen it in the trailer. Genuinely, I think... I do think it was... Obviously, it's... We've talked about this.
It's one of them, isn't it?
The humour in the show is going to come from Bella.
Yeah.
It's going to come from Ellie.
Yeah.
Very rarely Joel, but that will start to happen. But it's their relationship which brings the moments of levity amongst the horror that's going on around them, right? And Ellie is the vehicle for a lot of that humour.
Yeah.
Now, look, there's an ongoing joke in a game that her humour's terrible. You know, she even reads these pun books, yeah? So she's always delivering these terrible... You'd like this, John.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Terrible jokes. You love shit like that.
Yeah, can't wait for
and
that
I hope
episode.
That makes it into the show. So that's I get what you're saying though, because I think this is the most she's had to do. You know, obviously last week we only just got her at the end of the episode, and it's getting used to this routine with her and Joel and now Tess and the dynamic, and then it's going to be just her and Joel, and that is what, like you said, the show wants to focus on, because that is what's really going to warm your heart.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like you said, by the time you get to, you know, episode 4, 5, and you're fully in the swing of just Joel and Ellie, you're going to be like completely sold, I'm sure. I mean, look, I do agree. I think it's always tough at the start.
Yeah.
But I think she's doing a great job. And I have seen the episode twice now, and I am, second time round, I'm very much sold on her being Ellie. And it's difficult because I've literally just played the game again.
Yeah.
Like, literally. So I'm having to disassociate those characters with the new ones. And she's doing a great job. I actually wrote here that why didn't she share some of that juicy chicken sandwich? Because that was unbelievable,
yeah,
man.
Rude, isn't
you
it?
Seen what they're, what are they eating?
Yeah.
Like, jerky? What the fuck is... What were they eating?
Mm.
It looked terrible. It's like in The Road where they're just eating like sticks. Like there's a point where fucking Viggo Mortensen and his son are just like eating this stick or something.
Are you going to finish that mud?
And I was looking at this like, what are they eating, man? Like, genuinely. But then I did think there's bread around that chicken sandwich, which also has flour in it.
Wow.
So
there you go.
Just saying. Is that a little
surely
nod?
Not steel, though.
No, I know, not steel. Bloody but hell. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right, I won't have any sandwiches, otherwise you're going to turn.
Well, I've written here that Tess seems here to have a slither of hope that the world can be better. Joel is so broken, he refuses to allow that thought to even take hold.
Mm.
He's like, let's just send her back and kill her. Like, let someone else kill her. Otherwise, we're going to have to fucking kill her. He's adamant. He's like, oh, I don't want to have to kill a kid. Mm. I don't want to have to do that. You know?
Yes. And look, rightly so. You know, he's...
Yes. Who wants to do that? No one.
Yeah. I mean, the odds of this going to plan are very low.
Very low.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you're the pessimist of the group, John.
Well, now, realist.
As they wander through the destroyed city, overtaken by nature and fungus, Ellie explains how she was bitten, breaking into a derelict mall in the QZ, and she questions why she can't see the infected anywhere. Joel and Tess say there are two ways they can go, the long way or the way they all fucking die. They choose the long way.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay, but this is what I'm talking about. So, you know, they're standing outside and you can see nature has reclaimed the buildings, and you've got the building that's toppled over, and it's like, it looks cool. And then it's like, right, they go into a building and you kind of avoid all that now, apart from a very talented frog that's, you know, trying to play a piano.
Blink, blonk, blink. I was actually watching that, John. You remember I had a spell during lockdown where I started to learn the piano. And
6 months, $2,000, and you can play chopsticks and that's it.
No. Do you remember I sent you a video of me playing the Westworld
theme? Delete it immediately.
I sent John and the podcast group the Westworld theme, like me playing it. And I remember you cracking up. It was pretty bad. But I reckon this frog's got more talent than me. And I practiced for like, you know, 200-300 hours, mate.
No, I mean, that frog must have had all the time in the world to be playing that piano. surely that piano would be knackered. I don't understand how it's still in tune. Like,
well,
nonsense.
Any pianists, get in touch. Let us know the strings get affected by water over decades, please. But yeah, John, it's interesting you bring up the fact that you don't go to those skyscrapers, because in the game you do that.
Mm. No, I know of that bit. I guess it's like, I'm not even fussed about them going to the skyscrapers, but it's more, you know, in like 28 Days Later, where he's just wandering around a desolate London. I wanted a little bit of that here in that first like 15 minutes of wandering around, and a few more kind of, I'm sure we'll get it later on, but just like cars that have been reclaimed and like big streets, and you can see old school posters and stuff.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's like, I love all that.
So the posters are a big thing in the game, and like good talking points for Ellie and Joel.
Mm.
especially because Joel has context for them and Ellie doesn't. So she's always very inquisitive about beauty posters, about movie posters, about band posters, which we talked about last week in Click a Corner. Now, I'm sure we're going to get more of that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I think like genuinely the start of this episode is pretty slow because they are just wandering around. I mean, we see craters where the city was bombed, which ties nicely into the cold open.
Yeah.
Bomb.
Yeah.
Bomb.
Yeah.
And I've written here, it's mad how great the sets look.
Mm.
It looks incredible. Yeah. It looks just... I said this in a hot take. I can't believe it looks this good because I always thought this would be one of the biggest challenges for this TV show is the world design and how everything is overtaken by nature. The amount of work that has to go into this is insane. You think of a film like I Am Legend, which is one of the only films I can think of that has a similar palette in terms of nature reclaiming the city. But that's a film, you know, and a lot of it, although it's a good book, I think the overall sort of CGI in the film is so bad that I think you watch that film now and you will be like, oh God, yeah, this is, you can see everything. Like you can see it's a set. You can see it, the CGI is terrible.
Yeah.
Here, they've actually gone for a very good mixture of that and practical effects. And the practical effects are really selling just this world to me. Like, I think it's going to look great decades to come down the line, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the frog was CGI. I think the piano is real.
Do you know what? I was sitting there thinking, I genuinely was sitting there thinking, how on my second watch, obviously, how many takes did they put that frog on that piano for? like I was sat there going, I bet they were there for fucking ages.
Got to be some employment law that's like, no, you can only have that
how
frog
many
for an
hours?
Hour.
Yeah. How many hours can a frog work?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've not got it today. It's his rap time. We're going to have to set it all up again tomorrow.
Do you reckon?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Do you reckon that frog, they just found it or they actually had to go to an agency for it?
Imagine that. Casting call, frog, age, one.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, you just find them anywhere. Then you just go to a swamp and you can catch them fairly easily.
Yeah. Frog wrangler. What's your job on set? I'm the frog wrangler.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
I only need one.
Yeah.
Why have you brought 100?
You've got Neil you've got Neil Druckmann and Craig Manson on the radio. Like, have we got the frog yet? Still hunting them. Still looking for one. All right. Shoot's on hold.
Yeah.
So don't worry
about
it.
Where's the piano gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now the piano's out of key, for fuck's sake.
Scene ruined.
So they go through, talking about the frog, they go through what used to be a 5-star hotel. As they go further, they see thousands of infected in their way, which means they must now go the dangerous way through the museum. Now, John, have you ever stayed in a hotel that nice before? Before it was covered in water and
I've stayed in
lily
some
pads.
Very, very nice hotels. You know me, I like to spoil myself.
You're a big shot, are you?
Well,
big
shot. I'm not a big shot at all. Not a big shot at all. But I've
are
stayed
you saying
in some...
you use our Patreon money to fund your lifestyle?
If
is
I
that
used
what you're
our Patreon money to fund my lifestyle, I'd be sleeping in car park somewhere. So, yeah. No, it's... I mean, it's quite...
No, please give us money.
It's quite a nice... they've picked a hotel that clearly is a bit of an old school hotel as well.
Yeah.
You know, good choice. Bellboy and all that stuff, you know, traditional. I like it.
Gaz could be a bellboy, couldn't
100%.
He could be 100%.
Little,
yeah, that's, he'd be wearing one of those little fez hats, you know, little red fez hat with a tassel.
Yeah. Imagine seeing him in a hotel. You'd be like, your fez is familiar. Yeah.
Good that.
Yeah.
I'll take my hat off to you for that pun, John.
Yeah? There he is.
Yeah.
No, look, I've stayed in some wonderful hotels. None that were, you know, sunken with a piano and a frog. But yeah, like again, you know, that but that little bit, that little scene, you know, it's I was less annoyed with Bella Ramsey's portrayal in that, you know.
See? She's warming up. She's yeah. warming up, John.
Yeah, yeah. It was probably because I'd never seen it before, as opposed to seeing the twitching 50 times on trailers. But
that's right. I genuinely think that is what it is. So yeah, I love the music. I love the hotel set. I think it's great. You get these moments between Joel and Ellie here, where Tess goes to unlock the door, which is, you know, nice little bit of question time. Ellie's just like quick firing these questions at Joel, and he is like, no more questions about me. And then she asks about the infected and how long they can live. And some have been out there for 20 years, which is kind of terrifying. But you start to see, you know, the relationship grow a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of banter here. But I said this to Gaz in the hot take. It's like, it's very much in its infancy. At the moment, they're very standoffish, you know. But Ellie is trying to, you know, to form this relationship with
him. Oh, I mean, you can tell she's just fascinated by Joel.
Yeah. She's like, and she asks about the fact the guy that he killed, and most people, remember when he punched him to death, most people, that would terrify them. But Ellie's like, sort of impressed by it. Do you know what I mean? Which is kind of weird.
Oh, she's a child of the apocalypse, right?
She is. She is. And I think that's going to play out for better and for worse as the show goes on.
Yeah. Spoiler warning. Yeah. No, that's
no, I just think, you know, being a being a child of the apocalypse. Anyway, you know, they see these thousands of clickers or whatever. Not clickers, thousands of infected, sorry. And this is quite interesting, John. They mention something that is not in the game, and we'll talk about it maybe a bit more in Clicker Corner later on. But it's this idea of this network of the fungus connecting the infected.
Yeah.
Similar to Stranger Things, John, in a way.
Why? Why is this, you know, why is this a thing?
Yeah. Well, it works quite well at the end of the episode, to be honest.
Well, I mean, that's fucking convenient, isn't it? Like, you know.
But what I will say is I'm interested to see how this plays out now, because we'll talk about tendrils later. Delicious, delicious tendrils. I think that change has been fantastic. The tendril change. I think it's working really well.
I can tell you one scene where it really doesn't, you know, I wouldn't describe it as fantastic. I'll tell you that.
We'll get onto the sort of network situation in future episodes, I think, because I think right now, until we can really see it play out later in the show, there must be more of a reason for it, and I'm very interested to see what that is. Now, in the game, it doesn't happen, and now that's not to say that it maybe doesn't happen. Maybe they just don't know it in the game, or they don't, you know, understand the virus as well, and there's a bit more context for the virus and the world in this show. But yeah, there's definitely a change. But anyway, they decide to go the difficult way, which is museum. And as they navigate the museum, which is a very cool set piece, this, and this is where you're getting those alien vibes, or aliens vibes, John. They discover one of the most dangerous forms of the infected is in there, and they are clickers. Now, clickers can't see, but they can hear. And unfortunately, Ellie doesn't quite understand how well they can hear. She breathes a bit too loudly, and all suddenly, hell breaks loose. Joel eventually kills one and tests the other, but not before Ellie is bitten again.
I know.
For fuck's sake.
Useless.
Yeah.
Game over.
Game over. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, usually, when you run into a clicker, it is game over if you get grabbed. Unless you've got a shiv in your back pocket, in which case, as I've said to you, always carry your shivs.
Shiv them away. Shiver me timbers.
Shiver my timbers.
Yeah, great scene. you know, great use of lighting. They tease you a little bit where the clicker comes, you know, wandering in, stumbling in at 2 a.m. after, a, you know,
pissed.
Being at the pub all day.
Yeah.
Really creepy movement, isn't it? Really, like,
it's very
unsettling.
Creepy, yeah.
So unsettling. You know,
it is jittery. You know, it's that sort of why we don't like spiders.
It is. And, it is why we don't like spiders. That creepy movement.
Because their limbs move in ways that our eyes can't really comprehend. Mm. You know, the speed at which they move. And the clickers, where they twitch and the movements they do, is so unnatural to us that it is quite scary. It is quite, like, evoking those same fears.
Yeah.
Practical effects, John. I've written here, outstanding. Looked fucking horrendous, these clickers.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Flower-esque, actually. Like, yeah. Not yeah. The baking stuff.
No, the actual flowers, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like Seymour.
There's a beauty to the horror.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of. Like a Venus flytrap. Kind of like that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't go in there.
Definitely don't go in there. You put your Pepperami in there, like the old school 1980s advert.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just... look, I think if I was to think of something like The Walking Dead or even Dawn of the Dead, I mean, I love Dawn of the Dead, the original.
Yeah.
I love them both, but the original is king. But they're just so slow and useless. And also, it's like, as they do in parody and Shaun of the Dead, it's very easy to act, isn't it?
yeah.
It's just fucking hell. Whereas these guys are like, I don't know. Britain's Got Talent, break dancers. You know, they move in a way that...
Well...
They could be, actually.
Yeah, well, John, I've got some very interesting information about the clickers in Clicker Corner for you.
Oh, yeah.
So you just don't go too far. Don't go too far into my Clicker Corner,
yes.
Son. All right, you stay back.
Yeah. I'll just put the Pepperami in there.
I've written here, this reminds me of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
In the kitchen.
Mm.
With the velociraptors, in a way.
Well, but also...
One of the most effective... scenes in cinema history.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is very... I wonder if that was an influence when they shot this.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Mm. I think there's definitely elements to it.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a straight adaptation from the game, so they've got that material, but the way it's shot is very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we mean, listeners. We're not saying that The Last of Us is inspired by Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, no, but it is.
They're filmmakers.
So if you disagree, stop listening.
If you disagree, stop listening, yeah.
Oh, but, I mean, same as the T-Rex, right? You know, it's just like, just stand still. Like, he doesn't know. He doesn't, he's an idiot, isn't he? Just shh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've sneezed.
Bloody idiot.
Oh, I've thrown something at his head. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. yeah. Yeah, an excellent scene. And look, like this scene alone, when I watched it, and I was thinking about my score afterwards, and I was like, I could 5-bloob this episode, but it just felt, I felt like I'd be doing a disservice to some other episodes later on in the season.
Yeah, fair enough, John. You know, your blueberries are your own to dish out how you please.
Yes.
I'm sure via the way you're speaking, the listeners know that you very much like the episode, so
yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Mm.
Now, after this horrific scene, Tess has hurt her ankle and they're on the rooftops and they can see the state capitol building. Joel then asks Ellie if it's everything she'd hoped for before they make their way to meet up with the remains of the Fireflies. And we talked about this in the preview podcast. I talked about this in the video game podcast review. It's these moments... these small moments amidst all of the fucking chaos that goes on, which is why I love this story. Just a little beautiful moment. This is one of the most famous lines from the game. We'll talk about it in Clicker Corner. You know, is it everything you'd hope for?
Oh, shit.
And delivered beautifully. Imagine that. She goes, no.
Yeah.
Is it everything you hoped for? She'd be like, no, that was fucking terrifying. I don't. Yeah, what the can fuck we go am back, doing please? Here?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's the sort of thing that they'll play at like the Emmys when in the little promos that they do where yeah. one of them wins an award yeah, probably, yeah. or they both win awards. I don't know.
Oh, I think there's going to be some award chatter for this show.
Yes.
Let's just say that. However, you know, we thought Paddy Considine was going to win a fucking Emmy
that
for
was a
his
farce.
Portrayal of...
That was a farce.
That is a farce yeah. how he didn't get nominated for that.
Not even nominated. Not even nominated.
Anyway,
and
that's our thoughts on that.
House of the Dragon won
Jesus.
The best show as well. Oh, my word. yeah. What a fucking travesty that was. Anyway.
Absolute travesty. So don't think you can predict these awards, guys, because sometimes they make some ludicrous decisions. They arrive at the old state house to find that the Fireflies have been slaughtered by the infected. Tess then reveals she was bitten, and then showing Ellie's bite is healing, proving her immunity. She pleads with Joel to take Ellie West to get help from Bill and Frank and to make up for all their wrongs and horrors they have committed over the years.
He's like, who's Ellie West?
Hey, wait a minute. I've got Ellie. Where's Ellie West? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just fantastic. The lighting in this scene, stunning. Like just it just looks incredible. Her impassioned plea to Joel, it got me, John. It got me. You know, another person that Joel cares for is going to die. Which is kind of why he doesn't open himself up. You know?
I wonder if you're a viewer that has had nothing to do with the video games, because I know in the hot take you were saying you started crying at this scene. I was like, go away. Just anything in it, just tearing up for nothing.
I'm a very emotional man, sensitive. Don't judge.
No, I am judging. I don't think she's had enough time, really, to...
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Like, the impact of it, I don't know.
Obviously, I have the game experience where you have this journey together, probably takes a few hours, and you're getting lines of dialogue throughout that. Also, so I've got the video game character in mind. I've also got Anna Torv's performance in mind. I think her performance is genuinely amazing. I think she's done a fantastic job. Her and Joel together has given completely new context to that relationship that you don't really get in the game. So there's a bit more weight to it. And I just think her performance is so fucking good. That she's so emotional in that moment that I was just like, yeah, I'm sold on it completely and devastated to lose her. There's a moment where she's like, he's like, let me see it. And then she goes to show him and he takes a step backwards. And I was just like, what the fuck? He's like scared of her now. Like, and that was a really interesting part to that scene. Do you know what I mean? Because they're like a couple, right? We're pretty certain that they're, you know, they love each other to some extent.
Well, hold on.
Well, they've been together a long time from what we know, from what we, you know, in the QZ. So it's just very interesting to me. I thought it was fucking amazing. Like, I just, their whole dynamic in the scene really, it got me choked up. That's why I got choked up, you know.
Yeah.
More right. loss. I hate that. You know, it is what it is, but... It's just more loss. Yeah,
more next week, even more.
More and more. All right, then Joel then shoots an infected as they're sort of reanimating, alerting the others to their location. Tess convinces him to escape with Ellie as she stays behind and blows up the building, killing herself and the horde of infected. All right, John.
Sends him a little message, doesn't he? Sends him a little message through the vines.
Yeah. Oh, trouble over there.
Yeah. How you doing, mate? You're right. I'm dead.
We'll talk about this in Clicker Corner because there's quite a few differences, which we'll get onto, but we'll save that for there. I want to talk about, we've talked about the hive mentality of the fungus, which obviously pays off here. Obviously, you said it's very convenient. I understand that.
Well, I mean, it is. I'm not having a go, but I mean, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. I might have just been okay with noise just being the thing. You know, a gunshot is fucking loud. It wakes everyone up. But like I said, I'm happy to... I was worried about the tendril thing, and then I think they fucking nailed that. So I'm interested to see how this plays out later in the season, basically. Mm. Talking about tendrils, delicious, delicious tendrils that are fucking disgusting, right? I mentioned in the hot take that this is proper Cronenberg horror, this shit. This is like a throwback to some quite disturbing, sometimes very camp horror that was around in the 80s. Mm. And to see it again, like sort of coming back, is... I think it's quite horrific, and I'm a big horror person, someone who loves their horror, John, as you know, especially body horror stuff, which Gareth mentioned. Yeah. So Cronenberg's right up my alley, and that's why clickers are also, you know, yeah. Enough of that.
He's known for that,
What did you think about the kiss of death that I've put on it, or the tendril kiss that was disgusting?
Yeah, I mean, it's very disgusting. Like, yeah, that body horror, that like that invasive.
Invasive. Like, the word,
yeah. Like it's. You know, it's like when you get like serial killers in films, and they use a knife. It's because it's personal, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's penetrative. Again, like coming back to Aliens, and you know, the
face huggers,
the face fuckers,
literally.
They fuck your face and then your chest bursts open a day later. So that, and obviously the I'm not even going to talk about Aliens, but regardless, it was disgusting. It was really disgusting. And it was kind of, she's terrified, right? But, I mean, flinch a little bit. You'd be a bit like, ugh, get off me, man. Do you know what I mean? We've all been there.
She's just...
late night in a club. Yeah, you're like, no way, man.
We have, John.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No way. I'm way out of your league. What's going on here?
Mostly when you're kissing people, I think they're doing that to you. Is that...
Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous.
Yeah.
Yes, it was disgusting. The obviously the this I was about to say zombie, fucking hell, get cancelled for doing that, but this infected that comes up to her, so that's a stalker, is it, as I've read?
Yes, on the way to being a clicker. So you've got runner, stalker,
showrunner.
The stalkers usually runner's just a regular infected.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Showrunner. Yeah.
Stalker, clicker, bloater, shambler.
Shambler.
So you've got these different types. Yeah. The stalkers. Now the interesting thing about stalkers is usually they're like hiding in the darkness and stuff. So I don't know whether that's just, you know, I think it's hard to categorize this infected personally, but you know, listeners, let me know if you think I'm wrong. It was not very stalkery, was it?
No.
Just fucking walking up to her and then, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. So, he looked a bit stalkerish.
Yeah, I guess. Like Gaz, he said in the hot takes, he's going through abandoned buildings. You see him wandering around.
Does he actually do that? I know he's obsessed with it.
He's too scared. He's too scared. He's obsessed with it.
Fucking making it up on the hot takes. Fucking hell. Just pretending to do stuff to be more interesting.
I don't think he said he does it. I think he likes watching YouTube videos of people exploring.
No, he did say that as well. But also there was a bit where he was like, yeah, I don't know.
He'd shit himself, mate. He's terrified of that sort of stuff.
Yeah. That's where he is now. He's trapped. That's why he couldn't make the pod. It's trapped in like an abandoned blockbuster from 10 years ago.
Fucking hell. Well, obviously, Tess does blow everyone up, and then Joel and Elliot escape. And Joel barely even looks back because, once again, he's lost someone that he cares about. And that is the end of the episode. Quite a short episode, but it definitely achieved a lot in its runtime.
Yeah.
We loved it, as you've heard. But you know what we love even more is clickers. Ooh. And they feature quite heavily in this episode.
Yeah.
So it's about time we jump into Clicker Corner for all of the video game Easter eggs and changes. See you on the other side. All right, John. What better place to start Clicker Corner than with the clickers?
Yeah.
So what I thought was cool here, yeah, and you were talking about this, about all the, you know, break dancing and that.
Mm.
They kept the same actors that did the motion capture for the game for the show.
Oh, nice.
So I've written here, that's a very niche skill. So if you've got people who know how to be fungus monsters, then let them be fungus monsters, yeah? You don't need to get another casting call out. Yeah. You haven't got the frog wrangler. You're not having to get him involved. You know, you just click a wrangler.
Job lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know you get frogs and that. Can you break dance?
By any chance, are you a break dancer?
Yeah. No, that's good.
Give him some work. Keep him employed.
Keep him employed. Yeah, why not? Imagine getting that call. Do you know that weird thing you did motion capture for about 10 years ago or whenever it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Need you back. Need you back for a HBO TV show. Just do what you did back then. You got a fucking pittance back then, I'd imagine. But we're going to pay you a little bit more this time.
And then they're like, to their partner, like, guess what? We've hit the big time.
Yeah. No, that's
remember
good.
That thing
I'm
that
glad.
I can do?
Yeah. No, that is... It's nice to see that they are well ingrained in the roots of the of the Last
roots.
Of Us video game. That's good.
Yep. I've written here, and I'm going to write this in every clicker corner until the end of time. Backpacks.
Yep.
More shots and use of the backpacks. but seriously, though, can we please craft something soon? I need to see Joel craft a Molotov or a Shiv, whatever.
Well, that's going to be part of an episode where they're building their relationship.
Yeah.
He's like, come here, let me show you how to do this, blah, blah, blah.
That's a good
and
idea,
John. He'll show her how to do something, and then whatever she's made will be how she saves his life or something. That's what will happen.
Yep. Yep. Now, I'm not saying this is there's obviously spoilers in Clicker Corner, so just take everything I say with a little grain of salt. There's a little giraffe toy on the floor. So, close up of it. I won't say any more, but game players, you know. Next one. Ellie can't swim. This, of course, is probably the most overused mechanic in the game. To the point where it's kind of like there's actual like T-shirts of like fucking Ellie on a wooden pallet as Joel ferries her across a fucking body of water. It's going to be interesting to see how many times that happens.
Mm.
Now, I think they'll do it like once, but the fact she's mentioned it here is definitely going to play into the narrative, and it does play into the narrative. But in the game, it's a very, I will say this, very fucking frustrating mechanic where you're like constantly having to find, hey, there's a wooden pallet over there. Then you go grab the wooden pallet and then you ferry her across to the other side of the fucking lake or something. It gets tedious. By the time you've done it for like the seventh time, it gets fucking tedious. So hopefully the show just nods to it,
That'd
maybe does it
episode.
Once and then doesn't. Yeah, could you imagine? I've put here Joel boosting Tess up. I was waiting for the triangle button.
Yes.
Cue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Hey, give me a hand with this.
Joel. Triangle. Joel.
Over here. Joel, over here.
Yeah.
Ellie's knife. Now, it's interesting and something we didn't mention last week, but Sarah pulled out a cool-looking knife from Joel's drawer when she got money to fix the watch. I have no idea how that ties in at all, because it's not in the game. Like, I've genuinely got no idea. I just forgot about that whole thing, but then I remembered it. But seeing Ellie's knife here might have something to do with it. Does he still have this knife somewhere?
Mm.
Right? of course, Ellie's main weapon in the game is her knife. And she always helps you out if you're grabbed by, like, you know, a fucking human or an infected. She might sometimes, you know, occasionally help you out by stabbing them and letting you free. It's her main melee weapon. Whereas Joel uses fists or bricks or bottles, she uses her knife, her little switchblade, which I thought was quite cool.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see that knife again from Joel? The one in his drawer?
Doesn't make sense, does it? Kind of.
No.
You know, I think if you think about the timeline of events, she leaves that knife in the drawer. She then obviously goes into town to repair his watch. He's obviously off to work. He then comes back late. Yeah. They watch a film. Pass out on the sofa. He leaves. So at no point.
Yeah.
I mean, fair enough. Like, if he goes upstairs and goes, I'm going to get this knife before I walk into a police station, then fair enough, you know. But I'd imagine, no, we won't see it again.
Okay. It's weird why they showed it then. I'm just thinking about it now.
Yeah.
Just weird. Anyway, we'll see. Walking across the wooden beam is exact like it is in the game. Is it everything you hoped for? Line straight from the game. And was beautifully delivered by Pedro and responded to by Ellie, who says, you know, can't knock that view, which is very true. Mm. Jury's still out, but can't knock that view. That's what she says. The end of the episode is, in fact, different to the game. In the game, it isn't the infected that come for them in the Capitol building. It is actually Fedra, who have tracked them and the Fireflies to this location. Now, Tess still is bitten. She's still very heroic. She holds them off for as long as she can, giving Joel and Ellie a chance to escape into the subway system and then get out of the city. The change to the infected here was interesting, I felt. But I guess it keeps it quite... It makes the story more contained and concise. If you're then going, oh yeah, no, it's Fedra that have turned up at the end of the episode, you'd be a bit like, oh fuck, who are these guys again? Do you know what I mean?
yeah, that's exactly why they've done it. Yeah.
And I quite like the fact, you know, the episode's called Infected and it focuses on the infected, which is nice.
Yeah, at last. Do you see Tess die in the game?
What you see is you go through some doors, you hear gunshots, then you actually have this view, like, on above the scene where the shootout happened, like the upper floors of the Capitol building, where you can see her dead body.
Right.
So you hear these gunshots, then you are, like, sort of stealthily making your way out of the city into the subway system, and you can see Tess on the floor, dead, basically.
Yeah.
So it's quite effective, to be honest with you. It's really well done. I felt this way was very good as well. And you got the weird Cronenberg tendrils. So what's not to love?
Rank.
Absolutely rank. And John, that brings it to the end for Clicker Corner. It's been it's a good one, that one. I felt personally.
Learned some stuff.
You learned some stuff. And I hope the dear listeners learned some stuff as well. Maybe some stuff they missed. And that's it for the deep dive on The Last of Us Episode 2, titled Infected. We want to know your thoughts, theories, likes, dislikes on the show. So please do email us at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. You never know, your email might get read out on the pod in future. That's fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The email is in the show notes. It would be amazing and so kind if people could subscribe, share and spread the word of the podcast. You know, your support does mean the world to us. And if people want to go even further and pay for John's expensive, very lavish lifestyle, they can join our Patreon and go to patreon.com/fancritical, where you can get access to bonus content and help us out financially. Yeah, delicious, delicious monies. And I promise John genuinely will not be spending it on hotels. And like he said, if he was spending it on hotels, it'd be like a fucking Premier or Holiday Inn at best.
Travel Lodge.
Yeah, he wouldn't be at a five star. Travel Lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, John. Thank you for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate.
We better go find Gaz, because genuinely, I am a little bit worried about him. Like you said, he's probably in one of those abandoned buildings that he likes to explore.
Yeah.
So,
yes, those very dodgy buildings that he just keeps turning up to and meeting people at.
Yeah.
But whatever, lifestyle choice.
We'll see you for next week, listeners, for episode 3, where hopefully we get introduced to Bill and Frank. And until then...
Catch you later, Bill and Frank.
And survive.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.